All hunkered down and self-quarantined in Bariloche, Argentina.
Hunkered down, empanadas and mate at the ready.
Welcome to From Someplace New, the long-term travel podcast where Karen Bernhardt and John Sumple discuss their hows and whys, lows and highs, and lessons learned while living abroad.
So welcome to episode number 4 of From Someplace New. I'm John Sumple.
I am Karen Bernhardt.
Sitting across from me. One of the things you're going to notice is that we have 2 mics for this episode, so the audio quality should be superior to the first 3.
We are making changes for the better.
Yeah, that's how we roll. Before we get into this episode, which is going to be about the 7 myths about a long-term travel lifestyle, want to talk a little bit about the whole coronavirus and how that's all going down, because it's awfully timely.
Of course. I mean, as I'm sitting here, not going to lie, it feels a little bit strange to, you know, embark on another episode of Travel Talk while this is going on. Don't want to be disgenuine because this is a very serious situation. We're taking it seriously here, as I know people literally around the globe are. But yet, we don't want to couch, you know, what's happening and what's possible when this is all done. And human spirit, we like to travel, we like to make changes in our lives, and we want to keep our messaging around that going.
And it's like a blip in our travel lifestyle, or so we hope.
Well, so far, it's a blip. We can't really know, right?
But it's going to be a blip in the long-term thing, because we're not expecting a return anytime soon. So if we're looking at the next 10, 15, 20 years of traveling,
yes. When you think about it in that continuity, yes.
One of the things that we wanted to talk about that, we found it very interesting how quickly the government in Argentina responded to this. Only 20 cases and 1 death, and they just jumped all over it. Everything was as normal as normal can be 5 days ago. And then last week, all of a sudden, boom, this is happening, clamping down on travel restrictions, clamping down on social gatherings, and hopefully it'll be a quick time frame before things get back to normal here.
A quick time frame? What are you anticipating? What's your gut feeling telling you?
4 to 6 weeks.
4 to 6 weeks of complete
here, because they
lockdown?
Started early. I think it's going to be even longer in the United States because they started late. So I think I think the U.S. is going to be in the situation that it's in through the end of April for sure, but probably not until the end of May. So I think it's going to be a long journey of self-quarantining and, you know, just chilling out.
I mean, bottom line, this is uncharted territory for all of us. I mean, this is new for every single one of us. So all we can do is take it as seriously as I think most people are. You know, contain this, stop the spread, and hopefully get on with some normalcy with our lives, but also realizing it's impacting just about every area of our lives. I ran across this quote, which I thought was really interesting and very telling. There are decades when nothing happens, and there are weeks when decades happen. And I think we're all feeling that right now.
Yeah, that's a great quote.
I know, I thought so too. That's why I'm sharing it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I think everyone will appreciate that.
I think so.
Well, no matter where you are, what corner of the world you're in, we hope that you are having as safe and healthy of a lifestyle as possible, given the circumstances. This is something no one ever anticipates or plans for or even considers, but here we are. And we're just hoping that because everybody is hunkered down, sequestered, quarantined, that they'll have time to plan for what's next.
Oh, well, right. So that's a big aspect of this. So use this time of
self-reflection,
very few distractions. I say that hesitantly because I know it's intense, probably what a lot of people are going through, especially if they're homeschooling and doing all those things. But there's also, I'm pretty confident, a lot of time to kind of sit back and, like you said, John, to reflect and think about, you know, what you want for yourself. It will be interesting to see what everyone's paths are after, you know, this time of what will probably be pretty intense reflection. And I think what will remain is the interest in travel. So that's why we, again, it's a little bit guarded how we're going to approach this episode, but we still want to talk about something.
The reality is this is where we are, but we don't anticipate this stopping us from doing what we're doing. We may be temporarily isolated. And by that, I mean staying in the same location. We were hoping to move on in a couple of weeks, but we may be staying here longer than we thought. If we can move on, we will. But if not, we're going to do the smart thing and stay where we are. And
like I said, we've stocked up on groceries. John, how was that for you?
That was fun. Actually, it was really interesting because I went to the store yesterday. So this was on a Sunday. Get through the door and I see that the lines for checkout are wrapped around the store all the way into the
and
back of the store.
Context, we were there the day before.
Right.
And it was, I would say, I wasn't with you yesterday, but the day before the line was, would you say?
5-10 minute wait.
Yeah.
Yesterday it was a 55 minute, almost an hour wait.
So there you go, right off the bat. And this being on a Sunday in a Latin American country, which is usually very quiet, it's family day. Most people are relaxing anyway, so that makes it even more strange.
But the amazing thing, about it was that everybody was calm, cool, relaxed, patient, no frustration, no anger.
No fighting over toilet paper?
No. Plenty of toilet paper
you
on
know,
the shelves.
But you know why.
Right.
Why?
We had bidets. We
exactly.
had bidets down there. So no fighting over toilet paper. The thing that was scarce, hand sanitizers were gone. Other two things that were where the shelves were empty was rice and meats. So the meat department was barren. So they need their rice and meats in Argentina.
Argentina, yes. It is a meat-eating country. Sorry, I mean, I know, of course, there's vegans and vegetarians, but they're definitely in the minority here.
Yeah. So, but it was I guess I could say it was a pleasant experience. I was very impressed with how orderly it was, how
nice.
Nobody, not one little disruption. People were chatting, people were on their, you know, on their phones, people were taking photos of the lines. It was all very civil.
So in the early days of coronavirus pandemic in Argentina, put a marker on this. Everyone was very pleasant.
Right.
Okay.
I think it's going to stay that way.
I think so.
As long as there's access to the goods that people need. I think once
food.
That starts to happen,
yeah.
then it could be a problem, but we'll see. So that's our little discussion
preamble.
About coronavirus.
Wishing everybody safety and sanity also while
right.
you're
and heed
in.
Warnings too. Be smart. Don't go out and look at this as a vacation. You know, this is a time to stay away from the crowds so that we don't transfer the virus to people who may be susceptible to long-term health consequences or even death. So,
which I get it. It's really hard to change our social behavior. I mean, I think that's been the biggest struggle for people.
Yeah.
And again, interesting in Latin America where everyone is very touchy-feely, hugs, kisses all the time. We're starting to see that change.
Not
but
really.
Not, it's going to be hard. It's going to be super hard.
I saw people greeting each other yesterday.
For, yeah.
Same way.
Yeah.
But it's that's the biggest challenge, I think, here is there is a lot of the greetings are touching. There's touching, kissing cheeks, hugging. And it's crazy, too, because we see whenever someone comes into work or leaves work, there is the
right.
kiss on the cheek goodbye.
Right.
And if you're
those
in a
like
a restaurant and somebody's coming into everybody in the restaurant that's working gets a kiss. So it's like, hello, I'm here. Welcome here. It's just very, it's warm. It's friendly. It's very nice to see, but now you're very much aware of it as a potential way to transfer the negative side of the whole scenario that we're in. So it's going to be very difficult for them to adjust.
Yeah. Hands at your waist.
Okay. Let's move on to the topic of the day.
What is the topic
the
today?
The topic is
getting on with
seven
it.
Myths about a long-term travel lifestyle. And I'm just going to run through the list real quick. Okay. It's expensive. You have to speak the language. It's a huge risk and or not safe. It's only for a lucky few. That whole it must be nice for you type of thing. It's unsustainable. It will run its course. It's too hard to be away from friends and family. And you're always on vacation. Those are the seven.
Ooh, that last one's good.
Yeah. So we'll go through them one at a time. Just want to get that list off the top. Let's start off with the first one. It's expensive or you have to save up a lot to do it. That's one of the things that I feel like is a why not. You know, we talked about it in the second episode. Determine what your why is as opposed to always talking about why you can't do it. Think about the ways that you can. This
okay,
is definitely a why
not. Okay, and if somebody says
not.
I can't do it because I can't afford it.
Right.
So let's break that down.
Let's break it down. The first thing that, you know, when you think about it's expensive. When we started crunching numbers about the possibility of living in South America for an extended period of time, it became very apparent to us very quickly it was significantly cheaper for us to live in South America than it would be to continue living in Seattle.
Right. So, and that played into, which we did talk about before, it being an easier decision for us, because part of your why, John, was, I mean, me too, of course, but it was stronger for you, is paying down debt and just saving a little bit more week to week, not having to spend every last penny on just, you know, living. That was something where we saw very quickly, it's expensive to live in Seattle, not as expensive to live in South America.
And people had asked us, well, just move to a lower cost of living area in the United States, but that's not traveling.
Right. So what do we say for people that are like, but I really want to be in Europe, or I really want to be in Australia, which we do know has a higher cost of living.
Right. That's one of the things that you have to take into consideration. I think whenever you're planning something like this, you're planning based on your available budget. So when we looked at the numbers, we looked at our budget to see what it would be like to live in Ecuador for an extended period of time. And when we crunched the numbers, it was very, very obvious to us that our cost of living would be reduced significantly, like by 40%. So it was a no-brainer for us to start looking into other countries that had low cost of livings to see how long we could sustain that. So our mantra was, well, the longer we stay in lower cost of living countries, the faster we'll pay down debt and the more we'll be able to save up money so that we can travel to areas that might have a higher cost of living.
So, and breaking it down for us, we were not keeping any physical ties, I'll say, back in Seattle, knew that this was going to be a long-term lifestyle, did not have financial ties. So renting, so that was, you know, just finishing out our lease, no cars, no anything that we would need to maintain. We know people that are doing travel for, they're planning to do it for a year or so, and they might be keeping a home where they're renting out the home, or even trying to figure out the numbers and still pay the mortgage while they're traveling. I mean, those are all, you know, numbers you'll have to look at. But for us, again, we kept it pretty clean and simple as far as cutting all physical financial ties. And now being in South America, where it's cheaper to live, cost of living, cheaper to rent through Airbnb. Yeah, just going forward with everything costing less.
Since we've been traveling in South America, the average monthly rate has been around $900. On the low end, it's been $635. On the high end, probably around $1,100, $1,200. That's significantly cheaper than what we were paying for in Seattle.
Okay, and another point with this, let's talk about this, that people might think they need a lot of savings, and I'm a little bit cautious to bring this up, but I think we should be honest about how we handled it.
And how did we handle it?
Well, the way we handled it was, I mean, we didn't leave with a ton of savings.
No.
So it wasn't a matter of we're not going to move until we have whatever the number, $50,000, you know, $100,000 in the bank as a, quote, cushion. Not to say that that's not a great idea. And I mean, it's a little bit of a risk assessment as far as what you're comfortable with. We were comfortable with our jobs being secure and having that steady income and knowing that the cost of living was going to be low, that we were going to have positive cash situation pretty quickly with our travel lifestyle.
Pretty much maintaining the same income level that we had had.
Yeah.
And we knew that if we were making X amount of dollars a month, that we would be completely comfortable if our monthly expenses were 40% lower.
Right. So nothing, we weren't taking any risk with less coming in, right?
Right.
And we knew for certain that there'd be less going out. So.
And another part of that equation, too, is that since I do freelance work, if by any chance I were to lose a client and lost a significant, not even a significant, but even a little bit, it would have been a little bit more stressful being in Seattle. Now that we've been traveling, if I had a situation where a client went away for a while, it doesn't hit us as nearly as hard as it would be if we were depending on that money in Seattle.
Yeah, interestingly, right? Yeah, less financially strapped and also less insecure about our finances and what would be next. All right. So that's one.
As
you can see, it would be easy. You feel like that, John? Like we could do an entire podcast.
Sure.
I feel like we keep saying this as we've been doing these and start, you know, making points. You kind of get like, oh, wow, there's more to say. But we'll move on because we have seven.
So number two, you have to speak the language. And we've talked about this in the past as well, but we'll do a little bit deeper dive. Definitely makes it much easier.
Of course.
If you do speak the local language, but it shouldn't be something that stops you.
Right. That's the point.
Yeah.
That you can, and how do we get by?
The intention that we had coming into this is that we wanted to learn the language, that we wanted to spend our time in conversation as it was necessary speaking the local language. And we felt that it was important and to respect the local communities by being present as a member of the community, therefore having the ability to get by in basic conversation. So we went into it with an expectation that we were going to learn the
language. Right, and I think that's a position of respect, because I've heard other people, not so much, you know, long-term travelers, but tourists and that, like, they get frustrated when they're in various areas. Why don't they speak English or my language,
which
is really, again, inappropriate.
Especially in Mexico, we saw that numerous times where people were like, well, why with so many U.S. tourists and European tourists, do they not speak English?
Yeah, please do me a favor and don't be that type of traveler or that type of visitor, because it's rude.
Yeah.
And you're visiting. It's great if, you know, in a lot of areas of the world, they do speak English or as a second language. Interestingly, we're finding quite a bit of that in Argentina.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that makes your life a little easier, but absolutely do not have that expectation. Know that you're going to have to use various tools at your disposal to make it work.
Yeah, so in the South America, Mexico experience that we've had is that even if people say they don't speak English, they speak a little bit. As soon as you go vulnerable and say that you speak a little bit of Spanish and not too well, and I always say that, you know, you speak better English than I do Spanish, and they always laugh, and that whenever there's laughter, there's a connection, an emotional connection there, and then it's a lot easier to try to work your way through a little bit of Spanglish back and forth, and it definitely works out that you can have those type of conversations. So
in our case, this is speaking Spanish. I mean, obviously this, you know, transfers to wherever you might be thinking of visiting. So if you speak a little German, going to Germany, you know, French, going to France.
I'm gonna make it easier.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, we're speaking specifically of Spanish.
And I had 4 years of Spanish in junior high and high school, so the foundation was there. It was a lot of refreshing for me as far as vocabulary primarily. But for you, it was brand new. It was
absolutely
a whole
brand new
ballgame.
Did not take Spanish in school. So I have done as much as I can. I would like to, I'm constantly challenging myself to step it up and do more as far as taking online courses with this on two different programs that I follow. You know, constantly doing different tutorials and things, and just practicing as much as I can. I mean, I'll be honest. I wish it came easier to me. I thought maybe it would. Everyone's different. I mean, some people just really take to languages really well, and if you're that person, that's awesome. Okay, there's so many tools to help you. Obviously,
sure.
Google Translate is the biggest. But other apps I use, like Spanish Dict, D-I-C-T,
mm-hmm.
using those all the time. And with Google Translation, what's great too is you can scan things. So we've done that where I'm scanning items at the grocery store, scanning things at museums, signage and that too.
Basically, by scanning, you're using your phone's camera and you're holding it up to the foreign language and it translates it automatically for you.
Yeah, that's a great tool. Voice translation. I mean, yeah, there's just a lot of different things you can do that can help you get by.
And another great thing is to learn just like a basic phrase is how do you say? So here in Spanish, it's como se dice, and you can hold up an object and point to it and they'll tell you. So you can get by say, como se dice, how do you say?
And I always say with this that, how do you say? I always say with this that there's a lot of charades that goes on
right.
when you're interacting with people, and I call it toddler talk. I mean, it's basically you have to be okay with that. It's that vulnerability thing, which sometimes some days I'm not feeling that. I just don't want to be just feeling like I'm kind of bumbling through, but it's okay.
And those deer in the headlight moments are going to happen. You know, there's times when somebody says something to you and they either were talking too fast or you weren't paying attention and they look at you like, so? And you're just like, So
right.
you just ask them to repeat themselves.
Yeah. Yeah. So, okay. So number two. So the myth that you have to speak the language. Hope it's clear now. You don't have to.
It shouldn't stop you.
I mean, obviously it's great.
It will definitely help.
Yeah.
But you don't have to. but we encourage you to at least learn the basics, especially if you're going to be someplace for an extended period of time.
Sure.
That moves us on to number three. It's a huge risk or it's not safe.
Oh, this is a biggie.
This is
There's my
pounded.
Word, biggie, but yeah.
We this got one pounded is. By that.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a lot of friends and family that were concerned. Is that, are you sure that you're going someplace safe? And, well, I think you had a little bit of the pushback in the back of your head, but you said you wanted to challenge yourself, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Oh, I mean, as far as the risk, so, okay, risk, how do we unpack that? There's a lot of different areas that you might be feeling you're taking the risk. But I wanted to take the risk of doing something very different and just kind of stirring things up and trying something very different in my life.
Yeah, I think it's easy for anybody, whether you're an adventurer or not, to have, you know, second thoughts or doubts or questioning certain things about something that is unknown. And the world is shrinking because so many more people travel than they did, say, 20, 30, 40 years ago. So the exposure and the information about what it's like to be in a certain city, country, continent, it's out there. So if you're only listening to the same sources over and over and over again that tell you bad things, then you're always going to have this preconceived notion that it's not safe to be there. And that is not true.
We've said this, but everywhere we've been, we have felt completely comfortable.
Comfortable
and safe.
Safe.
Right.
Yes.
And we've been in a lot of different scenarios, lots of different areas of like huge cities, smaller towns, I mean, the whole range, different neighborhoods, different. I mean, we're out and about, we're walking, we're using transit. I mean, of course, be smart, know where you are and what you're working with. But I think, too, it's what you put out there. It's kind of an energy thing.
Sure.
We go into it with an attitude of trust and awareness and street smarts, and it served us well.
And it's an energy thing, too. If you constantly are thinking that negative things are going to happen, you're going to attract negative things.
Yeah, I believe that, seriously.
Yeah. Not to say that you can avoid all situations, but, you know, we have chosen locations and situations to be in that are safe. So we're not going into bad places. People used to say to us when we were leaving that we were going to Mexico first and how unsafe Mexico is. Well, if you're hanging out in the drug cartel zones, yeah, it's unsafe. We didn't do that. So just be smart and you can avoid those situations all the time.
And as far as the life risk, like I'm not sure if I'm ready to take that risk of making such a major change. I would challenge you, the idea of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. Unless you shift something in your approach, nothing is going to change, right?
Right, right. So, yeah, if you think it's going to be bad, it's going to be bad. You'll look for the bad things. If you think it's going to be okay and you do the research to find out where you're going is going to be safe or that there are areas. Like, we're not saying we're not going to a specific area because it's unsafe. We went to Santiago willingly knowing that they were in the middle of some civil revolution to a certain degree. And we were told where to go, where not to go, and we paid attention to that.
Just being super smart. I mean, where you're going. And I think a lot of people would do that anyway. But as far as the risk of where you're sitting right now, and it seems so scary, so big.
Do research.
Yeah, do your research and work through the emotions of what you're feeling. And I would challenge you, getting in a rut and never making changes is also risky.
That prevents you from experience. That prevents you from knowledge. That prevents you from going someplace, experiencing something that is profoundly beneficial to your development as a human being, something that you can then go back and share with other people and encourage them to do the same. So that's why we're doing what we're doing. That's why we're talking about our experiences, because we want to encourage people to explore, to, you know, do something that they might not necessarily do. And as we've said before, that doesn't necessarily mean you have to travel around the world. You can go to a town that you've never been to in the state that you live in, or to an area that you've never been to before that's right around the corner from you, and just explore it, find out something about it that you didn't know about it.
Absolutely. And I'd like to think taking those smaller, quote, risks in your life could lead to bigger ones.
I don't want to go into this too much, but through our journeys, we have felt extremely safe when it comes to violent crimes. There's absolutely no experience that we've had that is remotely close to some of the violent crimes that have happened in other parts of the world, including the U.S.
Right. Unfortunately, what's happened in other places.
So petty crimes are pickpocketing, you know, stealing of things here and there. But a lot of times when that happens, you're a target because you've made yourself exposed in some way, shape, or form. You left a phone in a back pocket. You had a purse sitting on a table. You know, things that if you're smart about it, and we've been warned over and over again in certain areas to keep your bags close, keep it over here. And
Common sense, street smarts again.
But it's something that you would never think about in the U.S., and we never did until we were in some of these places where they encourage, they even have hooks on some of the tables where you hook your bag.
Yeah.
And it keeps it secure. So, but that's smart. They're doing things to discourage petty crime.
Right. And I'm okay with that. You know, I'm okay with them, you know, pushing for that and reinforcing that with the, you know, in with your day-to-day patterns.
Yeah. And it's just being smart. It's having the street smarts. I would have street smarts in Seattle. I would have street smarts in New York City. I would have street smarts in LA and Chicago and Miami and New York. You know, wherever you go, you know, listen to your spidey senses, you know,
absolutely. Just,
and be prepared to make adjustments as they happen. Okay, let's move on to number four. Long-term travel is only for the lucky few, so it must be nice for you guys.
Right, we hear that. I mean, either well-intended or maybe a little bit not.
Right.
Like, oh, must be nice
must
type
be nice.
Of thing. Like, must be nice, or oh, must be nice.
Yeah.
So, yeah, let's look at that.
Some of the things you hear from people is like, I'm looking forward to doing that when I have the opportunity, which is awesome.
Which is usually when?
Usually after the kids are gone.
Right.
And then that you can start to plan for it. Yeah. So we know people who are doing this with their families. There are tons of people that we've been exposed to over the last couple of years that are doing long-term extended travel, whether it's for a year, 2 years, 3 years, or ongoing with their children. Whether
working
they're
and schooling.
Working
I mean,
and
those are the, you know, the main things, right? As part of your everyday life, working and schooling. Absolutely possible. Like you said, we know a lot of people that are doing it. And segue to our earlier episode about making some changes and transitioning, allowing yourself to transition toward this lifestyle, it will be interesting to see if there's more opportunity for people during this, if there's any silver lining here with the coronavirus pandemic, is people are working remotely that have never done that before. Either that's the only option for them right now because of the pandemic, or it's encouraged. So let's see where that leads for some of you.
I think a lot of companies are going to look at the way that they currently operate and say, wow, if we could save money by having more remote workers. It's like a trend that's been happening for the last 5 to 10 years is accelerating and now will be even more hyper-focused on, because if companies see that they can save money by having people work remotely, that will be something that will be taken seriously under consideration.
Yeah, so in an unusual turn of events, you approaching your boss about doing this might be that much easier because you've just been doing it for, we don't know time frame, but for the last
two months.
So it's already been tested and it's working. So that's interesting. And the same with schooling.
Yeah,
I mean,
not that
everybody's
you're
home
out
with their kids. And
yeah, not that you're going to run out the day after the bans have been lifted and like, so can I, you know, travel and do this remotely? But the point there really
it's opening
is that
a door that might not have been as quickly opened before. So silver lining, possible, you know, bridge to this with what's going on right now.
And we're firm believers, too, that you have to plan for it. Because right now, if you have kids, you'd be like, well, there's no way that I could do that. Well, there might be if you started to explore it. So that's all we're saying is that start to explore the idea, the possibility that this could happen. For us, it couldn't have happened 10 years ago because we were both locked into desk jobs. And it was something that in the companies that we were working for at that time, remote working was not a possibility. So when we made the decision to approach a lifestyle or a work style of being a remote employee, Karen did it by exploring it with her business and they allowed her to do it. And I was moving into a position of being more of a freelancer so I could be anywhere in order to do the work that I was doing as a writer. So we transitioned into that lifestyle 10 years ago when we moved to Seattle in 2009. And it allowed us to set a precedent both with the people that we worked with as well as with each other that we could adjust to working as remote employees and working with structured timeframes and be disciplined about it. So we were 10 years in the making in order to make that jump. So it's something
luck.
No, it wasn't
not luck. It was planning. Planning and anticipating and, you know, setting a course that would allow us to do this, which you all can do as well.
So it's something that if you, again, start talking about it, we talked a little bit about this in episode 2 about the whole idea of intention, setting intentions. If you never think about it, or if you only think about it as being something that you can't do, you won't do it.
Yeah, for sure. If you have the attitude, again, must be nice and just kind of, you know, put aside.
I could never do that.
Well, it'll stay out of reach.
Right.
Right.
So just think about it, whether it's for a couple of months, for ongoing, like what we're doing, it's something that's worthy of exploring. And I guess the reason why, you know, for anybody out there that's listening, if you're like, I would never want to do that, that's okay too. You know, some people are just fine with being in their environment and find tremendous comfort in being.
Yeah, we know. We have a lot of friends
family like that
are very comfortable. And that's absolutely fine. I mean, that's, you know, knowing what works for you. But if you have the wanderlust and if you have, you know, the curiosity of doing something different than where you are right now, this is why we're here and why we're talking about what
right.
we're doing.
Right. All we can do is share our experience and encourage people to do something that they might have a dream about or a desire to do. And we hear about that a lot from friends and family and people that we've met in our journey and people we haven't met yet that they're, you know, posting comments and saying, I would love to do this. So it's doable if you take the time to go through the process of planning.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it in a nutshell. So moving on to number 5, we're at 5 out of 7.
Yeah, it isn't sustainable. It'll run its course. You'll eventually come home.
Yeah, like it will run its course. This isn't something that you can or should do indefinitely. So to that, we say,
once you start doing this and it works, you want to keep doing it. You want to keep going.
Bam. So
yeah.
True.
Yeah, because we've been doing this now for 19, 20 months, and we can't imagine going back.
No. I mean, we're still like, I would say almost every day, we feel like kids in a candy store.
Yeah. That we're very fortunate that we've created the path that allows us to do this, that we've made the intention to do this. So we're very grateful and fortunate that this is our life, and we pinch ourselves every day.
We really do. And so, John, what do you think? I mean, how long do you see us doing this?
I don't see us stopping anytime soon. We
Me
have
neither.
Health insurance that allows us to be covered anywhere in the world. That's usually a priority for people is health. We know that, you know, we can get health care anywhere that we're traveling. So that's there. But as long as we're healthy and making money to allow us to do this, we have no burning desire to return.
Will we return from time to time? There's
not.
Well, of course. Yeah. I mean, there's various reasons to be back, to, you
sure.
know, for family and
Is
friends
family?
And for my work in South Florida. But as far as returning to live
it's not in the
again
card right now.
In the United States, no. And, I mean, you know, being flexible. I mean, if for whatever reason we had to. I don't know what the had to would be. I don't want to really think that way. But
right.
if we had to, I mean, we have our bags. I mean, pack our bags. This is what we're doing all the time anyway.
Pack our bags and
do that. But, okay, on that note, I just want to jump in because we have so many people asking us, when are you going back?
Right.
When we're talking and meeting people on our travels.
Right.
Where are you from? And then, so when are you going back?
Well, the answer to that is that we're not going back. We're going forward. And forward is, you know, the next country. And it's a response from most people of like, wow, that is so awesome. That's the response.
I would say, right. 99.9% of the time, that's the reaction.
Yeah.
I mean, there's that 0.1% where they're like, what, you know, what? Like, why would you do that?
Right.
Or we've had people baffled that, well, what about your house? You have a house. Where's your house?
No casa.
Pero no casa. It's like, what? No house? But yeah, no house.
If we did, we'd most likely go back for a certain amount of time. And then we'd have that burning desire to get back out on the road and would likely go and travel again.
I think we would get restless really quickly.
Yeah.
I mean, when you're doing this the way we are Yeah, I think any slowdown, static in one place, I think we would start tearing our hair out.
Right. And if we did go back to the States and needed to, we would likely do the same thing. We would travel around. We wouldn't settle down and put our roots down. We'd be like, okay, let's find places that we can go to that we haven't been to before, that we can explore and have, you know, similar journeys in our own backyard, so to speak.
It's amazing, though, right? When you basically your possessions are a couple bags that you pack up and take out the door with you. Yeah. It opens your mind to that flexibility so much.
Yeah, you don't have the anchors.
Yeah, which is amazing. And that I know we keep saying that. That's another podcast, but it is another podcast. I could speak of that a lot about the untethering and just simplifying and what that opens up for you.
Let's move on to number six.
Number six. Okay, this one, yeah. It's too hard to be away from friends and family. I would miss them so much.
Legitimate.
Yeah, of
it
course.
Is,
yeah, I mean, you're making major changes where you have your network of, you know, family and friends. So how do you work through that?
Well, if you're doing what we're doing and you're saving money, that means that you could always make a trip back. You could always go for a visit. They
flexibility
could always
to return
you.
And have that time with back, you know, special targeted vacations and time with family and friends, which we've done.
We've done. My mom has visited us a few times. We've had friends who've been in the locations that we've been at too. We've visited with a few friends, and one in Mexico. Well, actually, both in Mexico.
So that's them coming to us.
Them coming to us is another option, too. And that's something that we would encourage. And we're also looking into developing a few trips in the near future places that we've been to that we really, really enjoy, that we would love to have people join us and go through this amazing experience that we went through. So more on that to come soon.
Stay tuned on that.
But yeah, obviously not happening during the coronavirus era.
No, there'll be not. Yeah, we realize that, you know, major trip planning is couched for the moment, but we can still think about it and anticipate how we will travel when this quiets down. And let's talk a little bit, too, with, missing friends and family, how we stay in touch. I mean, this is stuff that a lot of you are probably doing anyway, unless, you know, everyone you care about lives down the street from you, which in this day and age isn't really realistic or common. So we're doing all those things, staying in touch via phone and email and text and FaceTime and Skyping. And I mean, so this is the world we live in now where everything is digital and we can connect that way.
And we were also fortunate that when we lived in Seattle, we were, I don't want to say fortunate, but we were away from friends and family that we had established roots with back in the Northeast and in Florida. So we were communicating remotely with them anyway. So it was not a difficult
thing. So, I mean, you keep that
us.
Continuity. And for me, I guess, to speak of this a little bit, I mean, I tend to be a little bit more of an introvert anyway. So maybe it wasn't as hard for me as it would be for somebody who's super social and used to getting together, you know, with friends every other day. I mean, you have to weigh that and look at that. But with that, I would say to flip that, the people that you're meeting and the situations you're creating as you're traveling, it's not like you're not making new friends or, you know, or having those social times with people.
Yeah.
They're different, but hopefully that's part of why you're traveling, is to expand your circle and have that.
Yeah.
So, it's not like you're going off and then you're in a bubble never to be interacting with people again.
But if you have that homesick feeling, say you live around your family, you see them every day or every weekend, not being around them could be a challenge.
Yeah, and that's, and I want to be fair about that. I mean, you will, of course.
You will be homesick.
You will be homesick.
You'll feel that.
But I just would encourage you to have confidence that you can, you know, manage that. Hopefully, I mean, again, I can't speak for everyone, but hopefully the rewards will carry you through those moments of homesickness.
Right. And plan for it. And if you know you need to see your friends and family on a somewhat regular basis, you know, quarterly, if you're doing a year-long trip, maybe you make two or three trips home, you know, for a week to recharge your batteries and connect with friends and family and then hit the road again. There's a lot of different ways to
look at it. Go into it knowing that you'll need that.
Yeah.
Totally manageable, totally doable.
That leads us to the last myth.
I like this one. This one's kind of interesting. You're always on vacation. Like, again, like everything's so glamorous. Like, look at you, like just living the high life on
Not
vacation.
True.
So what is the reality of what we're doing?
Yeah, the reality is that we work 5 days a week, anywhere from 8 to 15 hours a day, depending on busy cycles and things of that nature. So we are living a normal life that everybody else does that has a job.
Right. And with that, I would say it's a very structured schedule. I think most people would be very surprised by how routine driven and structured our week looks and has to be because of our work.
We look at this as we're doing everything that we did when we lived in the States, but we're doing it in locations that are new to us. That affords us the opportunity, instead of going to the same places every weekend or every night for dinner. Those are the things where we have tremendous flexibility, is that we only have the weekends to really do the hardcore touristy exploring. So that when you think about us staying in one place for a month, that only leaves us 3 weekends out of a month to do the exploring. So we're limited in the touristy stuff. We're not doing the hardcore out there exploring a tourist location or wandering through nature on hikes and things of that nature. But we're not on vacation. We are living a normal lifestyle.
Right. Like I said before, it's like we're living and working in unique settings.
Yes.
In unique and new settings. And again, super grateful, super fortunate to be doing that. I mean, that's why we're doing this and talking about it right here is, don't get me wrong, it's amazing. I mean, that is fueling us big time. But just to dispel the myth that we're on vacation.
Yeah, there's a lot of
things. This isn't a vacation.
Yeah, we have bills to pay. We have taxes to, you know, file. We have deadlines to meet for
work.
Lots
of details and things that we're managing day to day. I mean, there are some days that we're slogging through some things that, you know, that aren't glamorous, that aren't fun. Just like, I mean, it's real life on the road.
Right. And another part to add to that is that in addition to all the regular things that go with being an employed person, is we also are planning our next destination. And that sometimes takes a little bit of time.
Yeah,
we have a tendency.
There are times that feels like a part-time job.
It does. Because we have a tendency to wait.
Depending on where we are with it.
I guess our policy is that we want to be flexible. Therefore, we don't want to plan too far ahead. So we're not usually planning our next destination until we know the destination, the location, the city, the country that we're going to, but we don't always make the plans about where and for how long until 2 to 3 weeks, maybe a month beforehand.
And that's a pace that we're okay with, and there's reasons why we're doing it that way. I mean, that could look very different for someone else. I mean, that's completely up to you. That can be customized any way you want, as far as, you know, if you're going to an area, a continent, or an area where it's country to country or what have you, that can vary.
And another big thing that we do is that we're not going to locations specifically to say, hey, let's check off that bucket list tourist place to go.
No, that is an interesting point. Yeah, we're not picking places because of, I never really thought about it that way, but because of the attractions or because of those things. I mean, we do our research and we're aware of what we're going into and what's possible when we're there. But it's not like we're choosing those locations because of the attractions, tourist attractions, highlights, what have you.
Well, a big example of that was when we went to Huanchaco in Peru. We didn't go to Huanchaco because there was a ton of stuff there. It was more a matter of, hey, let's go to a beach town before we move inland. But when we were at that beach town, that was a relatively small little town, what was near it was a huge surprise to us. We did not know about these cultural landmarks that were, you know, very close by. I mean, one was 10-minute drive from where we were. And that really kicked off our journey in Peru to being more of a cultural exploration and learning so much.
So it evolved based on where we were and what we were being exposed to.
And what we wanted to learn.
So, and I think that would happen for a lot of people.
So that dictated a lot of what we did, was by going to this tiny little beach town of Huanchaco, population 3,000. And we were there during off season, so there really wasn't too many people there. So we discovered a lot as a result of being there. And that's kind of the way we've looked at it, is that we would rather spend a month immersing ourselves into the daily living versus being on vacation mindset, looking for the touristy things to do. So spend more time with the locals, spend more time finding that favorite coffee shop and hanging out.
And that's the richness of this experience, because honestly, the things that we do, I've said this before, we do visit tourist attractions. I mean, there are some things you don't want to miss because, I mean, it's popular for a reason. And, you know, if you look at our Facebook page and Instagram photos, I mean, we do some of those things. The things that look like we're on vacation, for the most part, then are the things we're doing on the weekends.
Right.
And
if we were posting
photos.
Yeah,
and that's a highlight reel, right? I mean, that's what you guys are probably seeing on our Facebook page and our Instagram page are those things. So it's like so much of social media. You get this illusion like, well, that's their life. Like, you know, that's it. Well, no, that's what we did on the weekends. That's the highlight reel of our forward travel.
And if we were posting photos throughout the week, people would stop following us.
Boring. Yeah.
Because like right now we're sitting at a table in our kitchen / dining room / living room. With all the food that we bought.
It's loaded up with shelter-in supplies.
Yeah. Fruits and vegetables and crackers and cookies.
But
and
yeah, how glamorous
pasta.
Do we look right now?
Right, it's not very glamorous.
Yeah, how glamorous?
Not at all.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are our seven myths that we wanted to bust with our based on our experience.
Myth busting.
So really, I think the takeaway here is that don't believe everything you hear
or see. Think you're seeing.
Yeah. And that also understand, too, that a lot of people who post stuff on Facebook and Instagram, they're showing you the very best.
Oh, especially, I mean, these super popular, influencers.
Yeah.
Travel influencers. It's so curated. It's so edited. I mean, I think you guys know a lot of this anyway, but it's still good to remind yourself of that.
Right.
Especially with something about travel, because there's so much like intrigue and romance and curiosity and all these things about travel. So it's easy to get caught up in somebody's very attractive Facebook or Instagram page and be like, wow.
Well, one of the things that we've heard, though.
The whole thing must be nice. Look at their beautiful life. Like, they have no worries. I mean, yeah. Take it with a grain of salt. It's a highlight reel.
And one of the things we've heard from several people who have started to do some longer-term travel, who have done more of the, I'm doing it on in a vacation mindset for a month or a couple months, is that, wow, that area was nothing like what I expected it to be based on what I had seen in photos.
Yeah, that's a thing. I mean, especially the really popular attractions that have been captured a certain way. We've had some of those where we've then visited it and it's like,
I don't think we've had that many experiences
Not that many. I mean, but there's been a couple. And some of the things we've done that have been the most memorable, you may have never even heard of.
Right. Right.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Those are the type of things that when you find them, they're nuggets that you remember for forever. So that wraps it up.
Yeah.
Those are seven myths.
Seven myths. Dispelled.
Yeah. Dispelled. Woohoo.
Thanks.
Feels so good. So one quick reminder, if you're listening to this podcast all the way to this point, please do us a favor and subscribe so that you can be notified whenever the next one is. You know, give us a like, leave a comment or two. The more interaction that we have on the platforms, the better our visibility will be. So please do us a favor and give us a thumbs up, a nice comment, or some constructive criticism is fine too.
And I just want to jump in one more time. Be safe. Be healthy, and let's just be patient with each other as we go through this very interesting time with COVID-19.
Sounds good.
Okay.
I can get behind that.